Hour number two of the program here. It is Chris Thomas Tonight Turtle with you until 10 o'clock. Appreciate everybody who has called in at 404-726-0929. We'll take more of your calls later in the show. And make sure you go vote on the poll. It's at CT Tonight 929, at CT Tonight 929. Do you believe the Falcons offense can compensate if their young defenders struggle on Sunday versus Tampa? Yes, the offense will be great, or no, I'm worried about the defense. We shall see. One guy that's going to have his hands full with that is the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, Raheem Morris, and he stopped by with Dukes and Bell today, his inaugural visit with the boys at Flowery Branch.
What's up, stranger? How you been?
Are we on air?
Yes, we are. You are. You're live.
We just came back out of break, and I was saying he is taking forever. He must be getting them ready for Sunday.
No. It's been a while since I seen you guys. I kind of forgot the rhythm, the routine.
Hey, man. Right.
It's a new year, new season. Obviously, we saw you at camp, and we felt good about all the things that we saw. Raheem Morris joining us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, guys, as we get ready for Tampa. Want to dive in. We were just talking right before you walked in about the update on the injury situation for our team. We've got concerns. I know you hear it all the time from our fan base. Darnell Mooney, what's up with Darnell? Ray Ray, what's the situation? Can you give us an update? Can you give the fan base an update?
Ray Ray's all good to go. He'll be out there for sure. You know, obviously Mooney is a day-to-day thing, but looking good out there practicing today. I know you guys got a chance to see him an individual today, move around a little bit, do a couple things on the grass. So we'll just have to take that all the way to the wire. But really fired up, really great about our health. You know, obviously the things that you can't control, our tackle position with Caleb, you know, obviously missing him will be a big thing for us. But we got a lot of people in place that can step up and really help us out and fill in that role and all those type of things, you know, like Elijah Wilkinson and some of those guys. But we are veteran loaded up there with Chris Lindstrom, with Jake Matthews, with really Bergeron, really Newsle starting right for us for 8 games last year. And then giving Elijah a chance to go out there and play for us at tackle, or whatever the case may be. You know, he's played guard for us at times. He's played guard other places. He's played tackle other places. He's got significant experience in our system. And I'm really fired to watch those guys go play.
We've talked about you can help him out with a tight end, but you can't do that obviously every down, and you don't want to sacrifice guys going down the field as targets. But he's made the adjustment over there at the tackle, you're saying?
Yeah, for sure. You know, he's always kind of been that swing guy for us as well. Always that guy that can go inside out. That was kind of the attraction of bringing him back. You know, you always got to help guys out. I don't care who you got them rushing against in this league. They always got to have some help. You always got to have some type of chip presence. You always got to have that tight end over there at times. You always got to be able to slide to them so you can create the help with Chris. There's a bunch of different things that you can be able to do in this league that you got to help those guys out with. And that's the stuff that you got to do as a coach. You know, and I think those things that happen with us within our game plan, those things happen within the structure. But like you always say, Mike, there's always times when you got to stand up. And there's those moments in the game where there's always critical ones. You got to stand up. And I got a lot of confidence that our guys go out there and fight.
Raheem Morris, head football coach of our Atlanta Falcons, guys, here with us on Dukes and Bell. We'll do this each and every Wednesday. We'll be up here at Flyer Branch and talking with Coach and getting the lowdown. Coach, let's talk about the trust of Brick, our new defensive coordinator. The focus, obviously, was on defense. We did it in the draft. We went and drafted 4 guys. Two of those guys we know for sure are starting in Xavier Watts and certainly Billy Bowman, and you've talked about that. But the trust in Brick, based on what Falcon fans saw last year, and then what gives you and us confidence moving into this season with the new pieces and his philosophy and what you guys hope to do?
You know, it really doesn't start when you're talking about the trust in Brick. You got to start with the truth-telling first. And us having a chance to work together and grow together before in a completely different system and to come in and have some success with the Atlanta system and be able to do it together and call it together and formulate some of the same ideas, you know. And then have an ability to separate and get a chance to go do it on our own at different spots at different levels, you know. Him to the level of really taking that Jets defense and making those guys special and us having a chance to do what we did out in L.A. and win it all and whatever the case may be. And now coming back, you utilize each other's mindset, skill set, you know, the like-mindedness, the things that you bring back, the things you want to add, and to be able to do those things. But it really goes with him being the ultimate truth teller. And that's what you want around you. You want guys around you that can tell you the absolute truth all the time, whether you want to hear it or not. And it starts there. That is what his trust is the foundation.
So you're talking about your relationship with him or just how he operates, period?
It's how he operates, period, but I really learned it firsthand with myself, you know, like working with him, getting a chance to know him. You know, we didn't know each other when we first got here, but when we left, we were best friends. And not just friends, we were best colleagues, we were best work partners, we were best working together, we were best working at the same level. You know, when all those rooms happen and those tight situations happen, you got to make those decisions. You need people to be able to have different opinions, so somebody's not needed. Mm-hmm. And when you got people around you to have different opinions, and once you leave that room it's time to ride. That's what you're looking for.
Raheem Morris with his guys. We'll do it every Wednesday. He can't wait to see Dukes and Bell guys inside the Ticketmaster studios as we get ready for the Bucks.
You guys actually don't bother me at all.
Good.
I know there's some other media members that might.
No. I mean,
hey, leave me out of this, Carl.
I didn't mean you, D-Led. My bad.
Our media is great. You know, like that they're not issues at all. Like,
right.
I don't actually mind any of it. You know, like there's some things when it comes to media where you like. Why are we talking about this today? We're like when you talk on a Monday before the season when there's nothing to talk about.
Right.
But other than that, man, we're good to go.
That's it.
Really?
For instance,
that's where we're going.
We got to see James Pierce Jr. We got to see him all camera. The guys, we were gushing on him. And it was funny because dog fans are like, you're not talking about Jalen Walker. We're going to get to see Jalen Walker play. Now you got to see Jalen Walker. How good does he look? Can you give us any insight to a pitch count for him? Or how much should Falcon fans expect to see Jalen out there this week?
Yeah, I wouldn't expect a pitch count. I would expect this guy to go out there and be full go. You know, this guy, he's dealt with a couple.
Coach, can you say that again, please?
He's going to be full go. You know, he's dealt with a couple nagging things like a minor tweak of the hamstring.
Right.
Some growing tightness. And us being over cautious and us being able to do the things that we need to do to get him right from a performance standpoint from some of the position change, right? You know, like you're talking about a guy that was off the ball a lot, didn't move down to the ball. You know, there's going to be some different tweaks, some different weight changes, whatever the case may be, body performance things you got to do with your team to get him right. And he's a professional at every level. So, like, he's got those things right. He stayed with his mental plan. He was able to get back out there on the grass and able to go show production and rush. He was able to go out there and get better and better every time he went out there. And now he's probably at the highest level since I've seen him since he's been here. And that's a good thing. And that's a good thing for all of us. You know, when you get those guys going out there and rush, and you're talking about the addition of Flo, you're talking about the addition of our two young guys, AK coming back better and stronger, having those guys going out there and rush together with D-Lo, being able to form those young guys from the year before to go inside, whether you're talking about Rook and Dorless, be able to go out there and add with some of the guys that we've already had, like a Zach, and all those guys, man, it just fires you up. And I am extremely excited to go see us rush the passer.
Me too. How are you going to coach Michael Penix differently than you coached Cousins? Or are you?
You know, I wouldn't say necessarily different. You know, obviously they're different, you know, they're different people. They're different from a mindset. You coach people the same, but you treat everybody fair. I think that's the thing about it. So how you coach those guys is you treat those guys fair. You know, Michael is very sharp. Michael is very unique. That he was able to capture and pick up a lot of stuff very early, and he was able to show it early in last year when he played in those three games. It wasn't like we cut the game plan back. We utilized his strengths. I think he has strengths that Kurt doesn't have. Kurt has strengths that he doesn't have. And I think you utilize his strengths and try to let those things come out. You know, as you know, he can throw the ball anywhere in a football field. There's no secret about that. So you got to utilize some of those things, a bit to spread the ball down the field and get it across the board. But you also got to help him out with this great run game that we have with the two backs that we have and getting those guys easy check downs, let them catch and run a little bit too. So we've had a lot of success doing that versus this team in particular. And we're going to go out there and have to do some of those things again. But we want to be able to run the football. You want to be able to get this guy going.
As a defensive coordinator, a Super Bowl winning defensive coordinator, Raheem, what do you see in Penix that you faced a bunch of quarterbacks in your career and you go, woo, like that's next level stuff.
You know, when you're just talking about the people that you face, you always see the wild throw, you know, once, twice, three times, four times a day, whatever the case may be when you're out there with them. You see the wild throw. And you see the thing you don't know when you're not out there with them is the command of the ones that he missed. He comes back, is able to explain the situation, what he thought, what he saw, why he threw it, what he was able to do. And I think those are the most important conversations you can have with a young quarterback. And he's able to have those conversations with Zach or DJ, myself, whoever the case may be, TJ, all of those guys back that are very calm demeanor, and you very rarely see him get rattled, and that's a real sign of maturity. You know, the thing about that you want to compare him to the most is I don't want to say Matt Stafford, but I do want to say Matt Stafford because of the like-minded, the ability to feel like they can make every single throw, the ability to make you feel like you can throw everything down the field if you want to, find a check down, be able to take out a bunch of information, gather it, use it, go out there and play football, and they want to play fast. The different people again, but got a lot of similarities, and they bring a lot of confidence to their football team.
And he's cool. We talked about that Titans scrimmage for like weeks about him being in the heat of it, you know, which defensive players just raving about that. I mean, we all knew he was a leader from his time in Washington, but that kind of cemented it.
Never heard you yell that much, by the way.
You know, he was I'm peacemaker on those things.
I know. You were like, get over there. Get over there.
Coach everybody. Tennessee Titans, Atlanta Falcons, everybody.
Get off him.
The reality of it all is you needed those practices, and those practices were good, and those are the things that you guys got a chance to see that everybody didn't. And now everybody can see it. And it's like, those are the feisty moments, the moments that you love about him. Those are the moments you love about his team, his personality, what he's done, his leadership skills, everything.
And just to back that up with feistiness, we talked so much about, you know, James Pierce Jr. And the way he conducts himself, because we didn't know as much about him. Obviously, you guys did the deep dive before you drafted him, and we love this guy. Every time I've seen this guy out there, he's just making things happen. And, I mean, should expectations be tempered, or you think this guy's going to hit the ground running on Sunday?
Man, that is a loaded question right there. You know, like he's done nothing but make you want to have high expectations. And you say that because you want to have high expectations on what he's shown us so far and what he really can do. There's always going to be a learning curve. There's always going to be things he can do better. He'll come out of this game wanting to do something better. He'll come out of this game with us coaching to do something better. But, you know, he's really locked in. He's got a perfect leader in Flo. He's got a perfect leader in Jockey Smith. He's got a perfect leader in Brick. And talking about the essence of ball and everything that it means to everybody and how you play for your brothers, I think we'll be very pleased with what we get throughout the season. And whether it happens right away or not, you know, I think only he can tell you, because I hate to put any a governor on him, but I hate to give him some unrealistic expectations, and that just goes for all of our guys.
Yeah, I mean, 8,000 yards, 65 touchdowns, I get it. Rod, let's talk about our captains, because I said this yesterday on the show. Raheem Morris joining us, guys, here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. There are going to be some tough times this season, always is. Do we have the leadership to get us through this? And I say that, I'm not talking about you.
Yes, I know you.
Jesse
mean.
Bates, Caden Ellis, Pinion, Penix, Lindstrom, Matthews, named captains. Is the leadership there to get us through whatever tough times we may ultimately see?
I gotta tell you about the culture here in Atlanta. It starts, you know, let's go Jake Matthews, the oldest player that we know. And that is what a definition of what is a Falcon. And it's Jake Matthews, right? Everything about him, the leadership, the calm, poise, attitude, the winner, the guy that knows how to handle winning, knows how to handle losing, knows how to handle how to bring it back, can handle everything. And then that's just what you build around them. Bradley Pinion, from a punter standpoint, when you're talking about special teams, serious demeanor, the attitude, the temperament, the everything that we need to embody all the things that are important to us. And then you go out and you get a guy like Jesse Bates in free agency. That usually doesn't happen. You know, there's usually some warts. There's usually something there, and that's just not the case. I mean, you're talking about a guy that is the ultimate human, that is really embodied the definition of what a Falcon should look like when you want to draft them, acquire them in free agency, all of those things. And the same thing with a guy like Caden Ellis, you know, a free agent that came from the Saints that we had a lot of familiarity with, that has really come in here and been the ultimate guy, the ultimate human, really been a really good football player and getting better and better every single day. And he's embodied that. And then you just go to Chris Lindstrom, who we got a chance to draft a couple years ago, and come in here, and it's been nothing but greatness since day one. And it's been nothing but getting better every single year. It's been nothing but being compared to the best guard in football, or whatever the case may be, or the best lineman in football, however you want to see it. And I really think, you know, all of those guys, they kind of find their place and they found their way. And then you had this young kid come in and really assert himself, find a way to come in here with ultimate humility, find a way to take over the leadership role, find his voice, be able to lead the room for, you know, the last three games of last season, going into the offseason, and now becoming a captain for your football team. And like, that is very important. And the best part about it was, it wasn't manufactured. It was done by the football team. It was done by his guys.
It was earned. By the way, we talked about Xavier Watts, who loved Jesse Bates' game as a college player, and you're putting your trust in Xavier Watts and Billy Bowman and nickel and dime as well. But talk about the expectation for rookies starting in the league.
You know, expectations to go out there and do your job. You know, like, that's just the bottom line in the National Football League. And you know there's going to be some growing pains. There's going to be some things you have to talk to them about. But we got capable veterans in place that can go help those guys, whether you're talking about Jordan Fuller or whether you're talking about, you know, Alfred, right? Those guys, they got significant experience that do nothing but support these guys. And, like, some of those moments and leadership moments come from all over the team. And those are great leadership moments that I saw when these guys got named starters, and how those two guys reacted was special.
Rob, before we let you go, again, we'll do this every Wednesday, guys. Falcons, Bucks, Sunday, Mercedes-Benz Stadium. You'll listen right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We'll have all the action for you. We've talked a lot. I've heard you talk a lot about the Bucks. I want to know about us. What do we need to do Sunday to get this dub, to start this season 1-0?
You know, obviously, we got to go out there on offense. We got to be able to handle the run game, right? We got to be able to handle our run game and do it the right way and run the football. We got to be able to do those things. And then, obviously, in protection, we got to protect the young kid, and we got a chance to get out there and throw the football. And then on defense, there'd be no difference. You know, we got to go out there and dominate rundowns. We got to find a way to display our style of football. I think that's very important. And then, obviously, on special teams, we're going to be mean but clean. We're going to go out there and find ways to make plays. We got playmakers all over the place across the board, whether you're talking about Ags, whether you're talking about our guys that we'd had, Mike Forge, whether you're talking about Felipe, a bunch of guys that we brought in here to really handle business for us on special teams and take it to another level and be the winning edge for us. And we feel really good about the people we got.
What'd you get for your birthday?
I got to practice.
You know? Wow. We're talking about practice.
Well, you're easy to buy for.
We're talking about practice.
We're talking about practice.
And, you know, I haven't had a birthday in years because this thing called a football season. So right. It's been awesome. You know, like for me, like this is a part of it. Like this is what you wait for all of, every time around that first game. It's your birthday around that. And it's the it is what it is.
Right.
The fellas will determine how happy I am for my birthday on Sunday.
I was going to say, we know a really good gift that could be given. Right. Raheem Morris, thank you, brother. We appreciate
Thanks,
you.
Boss.
Good luck on Sunday.
You're the man. I'll talk to you soon.
All right.
Great stuff there. Excuse me, from Coach Ra. When we get back, we'll keep the Falcons conversation going. Will McFadden, senior writer and editor for AtlantaFalcons.com, jumps on board. What's the latest with Darnell Mooney? Is he going to play? If he needs to sit for a while, who steps up? Find out next. We'll see if the Falcons are their own worst enemy on Sunday. Yeah. We're back. It's Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's Chris Thomas and I, Turtle, with you until 10 o'clock. Let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. Welcome in our good buddy Will McFadden, senior writer and editor for AtlantaFalcons.com. Will, let's start with some big injury updates here. Darnell Mooney, I know he's been back at practice, but from what coach has said, what can you gather? How much do you expect him to play on Sunday? And if he can't give it a full go, who are the guys you expect to step up in his absence?
Yeah, he was listed as limited on the first injury report that went up today on AtlantaFalcons.com. Raheem Morris has said he is day-to-day, said that Monday, said that again today. So, honestly, I really kind of think it all will come down to how they feel his shoulder will hold up through contact, which is a hard thing to simulate throughout the week, honestly. Like, it's going to require, I think, a lot of trust on the part of the staff with Darnell Mooney, of him being able to relay to them, here is how I'm feeling, here's how it will hold up, because they say he's out there running around, they say he looks good. I have no reason to doubt that, because again, this is a shoulder injury, so it wasn't anything to do with his lower body or his, you know, foot or hamstring or anything like that. So that ultimately will be the big part of it. And if he does not play in week one, I have to imagine it's going to be more of a precaution, just because they don't know yet if it will hold up to contact in the way that it needs to. So that's kind of the only thing that I think at this point would lead them to hold him out. And unfortunately, that's just kind of something that we're not going to be able to judge or see. Certainly during the media portion, you know, there's really not much to see during that period on a normal day anyway. But that's going to be tough, I think, for the staff to kind of get a good, firm grasp of anyway.
So when it comes to the other, unfortunately, elephant in the room, that is the state of the right tackle position. We know Elijah Wilkinson will get first crack at it. Do you think that they feel comfortable with that decision, or is it just making the best of the situation? And what about the depth?
Yeah, you know, we talked to Dwayne Ledford last Thursday, and that was obviously a big topic of conversation. What he said at the time was, it's really about finding the best five to get out there. And I asked him, you know, hey, Elijah Wilkinson was here previously as a guard, and he was pretty quick to point out, yeah, but he was a tackle before we brought him here. We brought him from Chicago, where he had played tackle, and that versatility was a large thing, a large part of the reason the Falcons wanted to bring him here to Atlanta. And so even though they played him there at left guard initially, he was somebody that they felt could play all over the offensive line. So I think that's why you're seeing Elijah Wilkinson really be that first guy that they're tabbing to go out there for that right side. He is a veteran. He has played snaps in the NFL. And given who the Falcons are kind of starting against, you know, we're talking Tampa Bay and Minnesota. These are two defenses that, if I'm recalling correctly, I think they were the top two defenses in terms of blitz rate last year. So you you want to have somebody with a little bit of experience protecting Michael Penix's blind side. So it doesn't surprise me that he is kind of the guy in line there in week one. And we'll see long-term what that looks like. Storm Norton will still be in the mix. But yeah, they're turning to Elijah Wilkinson, it seems, right now.
Level of concern just for you personally about the two rookies that are starting in Bowman and Watts having to deal with the explosive nature of Tampa's offense and all those weapons?
You know, it helps, I think, having Chris Godwin down. It helps having Jalen McMillan down. So Emeka Egbuka, by all accounts, had a great training camp, was really impressive, but he's making his first start as well. So I think you feel a little bit better about it from that standpoint, but there's no doubt that Baker Mayfield is savvy. He is difficult for even the best defenses to kind of keep tabs on. It's part of the reason I think a lot of Falcons fans do have respect for him is kind of that moxie that he plays with. So that's going to be a tough challenge for a player like Billy Bowman, right, who now is very close to the action where in college, a little more of that safety role. So the reactions are going to have to be even that much quicker. And we're talking before considering the leap from college to the NFL. So it's, I would expect you to see some imperfections out there. And that is the nature of kind of playing fast and loose and physical, is that sometimes that simplification works both ways. And the offense kind of can understand what you're trying to do. And in that area in between, that's kind of where the player ability comes out. And so how quickly can Xavier Watts and Billy Bowman feel comfortable enough to kind of tap into their innate superpowers and let those shine through? It could be a couple of games. If it's not, though, then I really think you should be excited that, hey, like, these guys can make an impact early on in their careers for this defense.
The over-under 47.5 tied, Will, as we're talking to Will McFadden, senior writer and editor at AtlantaFalcons.com, for the second highest of the weekend at 47.5. Do you expect a high-scoring game?
I do. I think I do. We obviously saw last year, now it wasn't week one, so that's the big caveat here, right, is it could be a very low-scoring game, kind of like last year's opener against Pittsburgh, but I think that the stylistic matchup of this game lends itself to be a bit of a shootout. Now, I say that right after saying Tampa Bay is dealing with injuries to two of its key receivers. They do have two very good running backs. Atlanta has two very good running backs as well, is dealing with some injuries at right tackle, which is Michael Penix's blind side. So could it turn into, hey, we're kind of managing this game and we're kind of being patient and feeling it out and you leaning on our run and you look up at halftime and it's 13-10 and all of a sudden you're feeling like that 47, oh man, that's in play, right? So I could see that being the case, but something tells me that this does have the possibility of going the over, just with the style of what these two offenses can be. And I think we'll see flashes of that on Sunday.
How important is it to get the running game off to a hot start?
I think it's everything, right? It is. We're starting to see, we've seen over the last couple of years as the proliferation of a lot of these two high coverages have come back into the NFL, which is a reaction to a lot of the air raid and spread it out, throw it nature that the offense has adopted. And now, because that extra safety is scooting back there, the run game's coming back. So the Falcons are really well equipped. They're a little less equipped than they were with Caleb McGarry, who, again, I know a lot of Falcons fans have had their quibbles with his pass protection. But when it comes to the run game, like, there are few in the league, I think, as awesome in that area as Caleb McGarry. So he's going to be missed. That being said, this is still the crux of everything the Falcons want to do offensively. And if they're going to deploy more play action, which I think everybody is kind of hoping they will this year after last year, you know, not running so much of it, then you got to get the run game established. Bijan Robinson is still your best offensive weapon, maybe your best player on this entire team. So he's got to be a factor, and you got to establish that from day one, in my opinion.
You think they, just to prove that they can give Penix a shot or two early in the game, or do you think it'll be more of a conservative, matriculate the ball down the field approach?
you know, normally I would say you got to kind of get the quarterback into a rhythm, right? Start them off with the easy throws, get them a screen, get them a quick out, like all those cliches that I'm sure you'll hear several announcers be saying on Sunday in week one. But ultimately it comes down to like, what is Michael Penix comfortable with? And if we look at his days in college, this is a big game hunter. He loves the long ball, right? Like he's right there with everybody else who wants to kind of go deep. So if that is his wheelhouse and his comfort level, then don't kind of try to force him into something that he's not. So yeah, I totally think that in the way that we would normally look at a player running some slants or a bubble screen or two to get in a rhythm, they may say, all right, Mike, like we got a good return. We got a first down run we like. All of a sudden we're here at the 37. Yeah, we're dialing up a second and two play action shot. We're running a deep out or a deep comeback to Drake. Let it rip, big boy. Like that's totally the mindset I could see on Sunday.
Prediction. Want to hear your thoughts before I let you go. First pass of the game goes to Kyle Pitts.
I think you're spot on because it feels like it's been that way every single year for the last like 4 years since he's been in Atlanta. I can picture it right now is that like 8 yard out route to the right as they're rolling out. So yeah, I would say that's spot on.
We'll appreciate the time as always. Next time we chat, hopefully discussing a victory for the Dirty Birds in week one.
Hopefully it'll be a big one, Chris, right out of the gates.
All right. That is our buddy Will McFadden there of AtlantaFalcons.com. When we get back, it's time for a football frenzy. Any team, any topic, any player. What do you guys think? You can call in if you didn't get in before, 404-726-0929. Are you worried about these rookies on defense, or do you think that the Falcons offense is going to shine bright and can go tit for tat with the Bucs in a shoot 'em? What do you think? 404-726-0929. Your calls in a football frenzy. Next. Back with you here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is Chris Thomas tonight. Turtle with you until 10 o'clock. A reminder to join Sports Radio 92.9 The Game after each Falcons game for the Falcons Flyover. It's your first chance to call in and react after each and every Falcons game. Brought to you by Ticketmaster, the official ticket marketplace of the Atlanta Falcons. That's the Falcons Flyover, immediately following every Falcons game this season on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I heard the host of that show is pretty cool. I don't really know.
He's okay.
Yeah, I don't really know verbatim, but that's just the word on the street is, if you don't catch my drift, that would be. Yours truly is hosting the Falcons Flyover this season. Warren, I'm excited to check out the digs on Sunday because we got it hooked up at the and make sure you come by and say hi after the game because I'll be at the Signia Hotel hanging out at the bar with all of you after the game until 7:30.
That's a good vibe. Hopefully a good vibe after a win.
Well, you know what? Even if it's not a win, I'm still bringing the good vibes.
There you go.
And you're calling me at 404-726-0929 after each and every Falcons game. I take your calls on the Falcons Flyover. There's a lot to get to in the NFL world, so I figure we waste zero time and dive headfirst into a football frenzy. Oh, what did we talk about last night with my fandom growing up and my fandom now? Growing up in New York as a Jets fan and now covering and cheering on the Falcons each and every week here on 92.9 The Game. Well, if you follow those two historic franchises, you know one thing is common between the both of them, Warren. They can't have nice things. And Caleb McGarry goes down for the year with the Falcons, and today we find out that the Jets lose their Pro Bowl guard, Elijah Vera Tucker, by far their best offensive lineman.
Torres tricep again.
Again, for the second time in his career. And the Jets, much like the Falcons, are heavily relying on their run game. So Justin Fields, not exactly good news for him and the bunch there in gangrene. Oren, I ask this tongue-in-cheek. Are there just certain franchises that are cursed, man?
I don't want to say yes or no, but I'll say that there are certain franchises that when bad things happen to them, they kind of seem to steamroll. Or maybe we just – say, for instance, one bad thing happens to the Jets. We can kind of nitpick and find like four or five more things wrong with the Jets. So,
but well, you can always find four or five things wrong with the Jets.
Dysfunctional franchises are dysfunctional for a reason. When something bad happens, it usually doesn't happen in ones. It happens in threes and fours.
It's crazy. I mean, both teams lose starting offensive linemen right before pivotal seasons.
I'm not saying the Falcons are dysfunctional. I'm saying the Jets are dysfunctional in that scenario, yes.
Well, I mean, we got to be honest about the state of the Falcons. They're not exactly a model franchise right now.
They're not, but
7-10, 7-10, 7-10, and 8-9. I mean, that's pretty Jetsian, if you ask me. I mean, listen, let's not. I think it's going to be different this year.
Above average Jetsian, if you will. Yes,
for the Jets, you're saying.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, but that's. Oren, we need a higher bar, my friend. We need to.
Don't want to shoot for the Jets.
Yeah, seriously.
Which is funny because the jet is something that flies high in the sky. We don't want to aim
for
that.
And so is a Falcon.
And so is a Falcon. Yes.
So
flying objects
that have been dangerously grounded. Close to pivoting into some bush, unfortunately. And Justin Fields actually came out and was talking about, he's not focused on all the drama because you know who they play week one. The Steelers. And you know who's on the Steelers?
Aaron
Rodgers.
Yeah, I've been in the darkness. That guy.
He's lived in the darkness. But unfortunately, I don't know. How do you feel? I feel like this one's going to be the Steelers are going to stomp the Jets. I mean,
they're trying. I saw today Aaron played. He went the high road. He took the high road. They asked him because we know how he went on McAfee after the whole thing went down with the Jets and how that conversation with Aaron Glenn and the general manager transpired and asked me when to play football. I was like, yeah. It's like, all right, well, we're going someplace else. We're going to do something else. So Aaron knows his credit. He's not taking shots. He spoke highly about the defense, mentioned seven or eight guys on that defense that he was a really big fan of. Didn't mention guys he still was in contact with. But you got to know, I mean, Aaron probably still talks to a few of those guys. So it didn't end well in terms of the new management coming in and taking control and pushing Aaron out. But I guess Aaron was a decent enough teammate to where people still think.
No, they liked him.
They think well of him.
It was more about him and management. It wasn't about him and the players. But by the way, did you see that the McAfee era might be coming to an end with A-Rodge?
Really?
There's a report out there that he might not be doing it this year. How about that? Taking football seriously.
Do you think that was his decision, or do you think that was his decision inspired and kind of pushed on by, the Pittsburgh Steelers?
No. Because he'd just be like, sorry, you're not good enough for me to tell me what to do with my life now.
They're giving me a check. Every time
that
I
one,
yeah,
a so, seven-figure check.
If you guys want to offset that in some sort of way,
exactly.
Guys want to start a dummy corporation like Steve Ballmer and pay me under the table. By all means, go ahead and do it,
sir. Now, in the land of Crazy Town, which is of course the Micah Parsons saga, the latest is that he says his first choice was to remain a Dallas Cowboy. I asked you this question of Jerry Jones last night, Oren, and I'll ask you this of Micah Parsons tonight. Do you believe him?
I am more apt to believe Micah than I am to believe Jerry. But, so Albert Breer and Jeremy Fowler both did sort of expose breakdowns of everything that happened behind the scenes. And Fowler's went back so far as to the end of last season. And when they first had he and Jerry that informal conversation, followed up by a conversation with Steven about more money And by all accounts, at that point, it seemed like it was going to, one way or another, whether the contract negotiations went well or not, I got the impression that Micah wanted to stay in Dallas. I didn't realize, though, you hear rumblings and you hear comments and you see things written, just how much of a rift the podcast and his little media endeavors and that
heard
stuff kind of
well,
caused.
Including Dak, apparently.
Yeah, and I didn't realize. I guess I kind of got the impression that might have rubbed some guys the wrong way, but how much it rubbed them the wrong way to the point where they were – like, if you hear Dak's comments talking about the new defensive tackle they got, it sounds like he was referencing somebody who wants to be here, who wants to be here. So I guess –
if the last image of Micah is him sleeping on a garbage can
– not wearing his jersey.
Not wearing his jersey, I guess that makes sense. By the way, a little sidebar before we get to your calls – 404-726-0929. I got a tough call to make, and I got to make it quick.
Is it fantasy related?
Who do I start, Dak or Justin Herbert?
Ooh.
Yeah. I got to make that decision.
I'm more apt to say Dak.
Me too.
Just because.
I'm leaning Dak.
And I got a feeling,
too. They're playing
in
Brazil.
They're not going to be able to run the football well. And they don't have quality running backs right now established in Dallas. But, hey, you got two pretty darn good wide receivers on the outside in CD and George Pickens. So.
And CB2 for the Eagles, I think, is a little up. Like, they might start Cooper DeJean, who played more nickel last year.
Yeah, nickel and safety last year. Yeah.
So I don't, you know what I did?
What'd you do?
I took a really big risk with my first overall pick.
Who'd you take? Well, what number did you have?
I was eight.
Eighth.
Yeah,
so at that point,
I finished second in the league last year.
You're hoping at that point maybe you're getting one of those back in sort of wide receiver ones.
Well,
or
the projected guy for me was Malik Nabers.
Okay.
He wasn't there. But you know who was there? Everybody stayed away.
And
Christian McCaffrey.
You took McCaffrey at eight.
I took McCaffrey.
The seasons he's finished healthy, he's played 14, 15, 16 games. He's been a top five running back those seasons. It's just a matter of can he finish and stay healthy.
Took a big swing.
All right.
We'll see.
Hey,
but my other running back's Achane, so I think I'll be good.
As long as that calf holds up, you'll be
all
right.
I think I'll be okay. But anyway, that's enough about my fantasy league. Steve, what's up, Steve?
Hey, I was just wondering, what did Penix Jr. do in the preseason that makes you so highly optimistic on him?
Well, he didn't do anything. Well, Steve, he didn't play.
No, I mean the defensive end.
You said Penix.
The defensive end.
James Pierce Jr.?
Yes, he was getting those names confused.
No, that's
all right. What did he do?
That's all right, Steve. I appreciate the call. He was a menace. I don't know, Steve. Clearly you haven't been locked into some of the reporting, my friend, that's been going on. I'm here to bring the good news, bring the good word at 7:53 on a Wednesday. James Pierce Jr. was a one-man wrecking crew in practice and in the joint practices, so I'm not worried about him. He's the least of my concerns going into that game. Appreciate it, Steve. 404-726-0929. Michael Penix Jr. is the quarterback. And James Pierce Jr. is the edge rusher. That's okay, Steve.
Sorry, P last names.
That's all right.
P-E last
names. Yeah, you know what? It's okay. 404-726-0929. Thanks, Steve. All right, when we get back, let's talk some dogs, shall we? Jeremy Johnson, Dogs HQ, is going to stop by. What did he think of what he saw versus Marshall, and what are their expectations for the season? Some dog talk coming up next, 92.9 The Game.